Hey, listeners, it's Jez. I'm your guest this week, but before we start, I need to explain something. So this week for the podcast, we are doing The Enemy of the World, which is an existing episode of Doctor Who, which for the second Doctor is very exciting. All the episodes exist. But we got so used to doing recreated episodes that we really didn't know how to cope without them. So we decided to do a recreated podcast. Okay, so the real story is, while I was recording, my computer died. Like, it just gave up on living. And I had to switch to my iPad very quickly, and some parts are missing. So, Joe was great. He's editing around a lot of things. I re-recorded some things. So, if things don't quite make sense, or it feels like I'm being really quiet, you can blame my computer for that. So, sorry about that. Enjoy the recreated episode. Pretend you're listening to classic Doctor Who and you'll be just fine.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon Rassilon. Yep. Talking about the fourth serial of the fifth season of Doctor Who, The Enemy of the World, which consists of six serials that aired from December 23rd, 1967 to January 27th, 1968. All of them exist, and
I'm so proud of you for having all of those Joe facts ready to go.
I know, right?
You know why they all exist, right?
They were found like 2 years ago, right?
3 years ago.
3 years ago in a...
Time's an illusion.
Was it Nigeria? I just read about it like 5 minutes ago and I've already forgotten.
They were found in Nigeria.
What were they doing there?
Hanging out.
They were found in a relay station. So like, they had copies so that they could air it and they didn't get rid of theirs when everyone else did. So points for being pack rats, saving everyone else.
Joe facts! So those were the Joe facts and the Jez facts.
Nice.
By the way, Jez is here. Welcome back!
Hello! Thank you.
I also want to mention this episode is sponsored by Matt Golden.
Matt Golden. Thank you, Matt Golden.
For providing the cereal for us. Though something happened, which we will get to. But before we get to that, hey, Jez, what's going on? Anything new in your world?
I mean, since I talked to you last, no. That was like an hour ago. But since I talked to the listeners, I got full time at my job.
Yay!
Congrats.
We're very happy.
And I got to do all kinds of cool library stuff. So, I'm good with that.
Before we start talking about the serial, we should mention
how we watched it.
The serial.
I thought you were going to die. I thought this was the end of you.
It literally almost killed
me. As a human being.
The way the episodes were numbered were wrong. It was wrong.
It was wrong.
Episode one was episode one.
Episode one was episode one, and we watched it, and it all made sense, and it was cool. And then episode two started in a way that didn't make any sense. We're like, wait, what's happening in this scene?
But it seems like they did a giant leap forward.
Yeah, but as it went on, we were just like, oh, that all makes sense, I guess, and just kept watching it.
But it turns out we watched episode four.
Which was labeled as episode two. And we didn't notice it. We watched all of episode four. We went on to watch episode three. And episode three starts. And it's like episode five. Or
something like that.
It was labeled something else. It was episode five or six. And we were like, whoa, hang on. Wait a second.
So we were like, wait, did we watch the... That would explain why there was that jump forward. So we found episode two and we watched episode two. And then it was like, oh, wait, there's a character here that was dead in the fourth episode.
Episode four that we haven't even been introduced to yet.
And you're like, yeah, we watched episode four. We thought we had watched episode three instead of two.
Right, but it was four. And so we watched episode one, four, two, three, five, and six. It was a mess.
That's what happened with us. How did you watch it, Jez? I'm assuming in the correct order.
I watched it in the correct order, but on three different nights over the span of like a week. And I watched a lot of episode five over and over because when I was trying to watch it last night, the video just kept crashing. Like the whole thing would just close and I'd have to restart it and try to guess where I was. So if I got to a certain point, I would just watch the next minute or so because it was close enough. But then I think I skipped a minute later. Oh, yeah, but I watched them all in the correct order, at least.
I will tell you, probably made more sense. Although, it's not like it hindered us that much. We missed out on two whole episodes and just kind of went, yeah, okay, we follow all this.
And I think part of it helped that episode, the fourth episode, does not have Jamie or Victoria in it. They were on holiday.
Yeah.
So, like, their predicament's not really referred to. I feel like if it had of been,
well, it had a
we'd
have
been
bit,
like, wait, what?
It was a little bit. They were kind of like, hey, and, you know, you need the doctor needs to help his friends. And I was like, yeah, where are his friends?
Yeah, he mentions, they're like, well, why are you even doing this? And he's like, oh, well, he has my friends captive. And that's all you hear. But that's enough.
Exactly. We were kind of like, wow, that was an interesting. They had a lot of stuff happen off screen. Very interesting. But there was enough there, because it's recapping for people who haven't seen it in a week or whatever, to be like, oh, right, that's what happened.
The episode one cliffhanger
matched.
Kind of matches the beginning of episode four, visually. It's the same two characters. It wasn't the same two characters, it was one that looked like...
Yes.
It was the doctor pretending to be this guy and Bruce. Episode four begins with Bruce and the actual... So, yeah, we're dumb. That's... Maybe we should just go ahead and start talking.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about episode one.
Which I've called The Prince and the Doctor.
All right. I see where you're going with this.
All of these are going to be related to stuff with lookalikes, basically.
Swapping places.
Two of them are going to be really bad. At least two. Maybe three.
I'm worried.
The last one will be the best, though.
I don't believe that because there are six episodes.
The Prince and the Doctor is not bad. It sounds like The Prince and the Pauper. That's the reference, you guys. The Prince and the Pauper, in case you missed it.
So anyway, this episode starts and they're at the beach. And the Doctor is fucking thrilled. It's the best thing.
So cute.
Jamie and Victoria are like, where are we? Are we on an alien planet? What's going on? And the Doctor's like, who cares? We're on the beach.
He wants to go make a sandcastle.
He tells them to go get buckets and shovels. And they're like, Victoria's like, why? And Jamie's like, he wants us to build sand. Or it might be the other way around.
It was Jamie that said he wants to build a sandcastle. And I thought for a minute, did they have sandcastles where he's from? Like, is that a normal thing there? How long has this existed in history?
My assumption here is that if he hadn't been exposed to it, the doctor has done this to him before.
Okay, that's solid.
Then the doctor's just like, we're on a beach, we're gonna build sandcastles! And Jamie's like, oh, yeah, he does this. He gets really excited whenever we're by a beach, I don't... But he does, he just, like, runs towards the water and, like... Does he even bother, like, taking off his coat and stuff, or does he just jump right into the water?
No, he's, like, in his bathing suit, because I remember him being in it, like... Because for a second, I was like, who is that? Oh, wait, that's the doctor.
Yeah, he starts frolicking. It's very cute. And then people come and start shooting at him.
And they've got, like, a hovercraft, if I'm remembering that correctly, yes? Which, I think those things are awesome. And I was just, like, thrilled that I was like, oh, that is, like, a legit working hovercraft, and it's driving towards them. Look at it!
I like how he has to explain what a hovercraft is. Like, partially for the companions, but I think partially for the audience as well. Because it was, you know, the 60s.
I mean, I didn't... My first thought was not hovercraft. My first thought was weird beach car, so...
He does have a note that says, weird beach car, and then the next note refers to it as a hovercraft, so...
Thank you, doctor.
Well, to be fair, like... that little bit of info successfully departed.
The first time you see it, it's not moving, I think, so...
I mean, it's definitely a hovercraft, though.
Yeah.
It's not moving, but it's still shaped like the thing that it is.
Well, that's why they wrote it in the script. They're like, well, the props department can't make a working hovercraft yet, so you're just going to pretend... We need to let the audience know that this is a working hovercraft so they don't know what we did.
Hovercrafts. I love hovercrafts. My science teacher had, like, a little tiny one that worked with, like, a leaf blower. We would play air hockey with people. It was great. Hovercrafts are great. Oh, yeah. So the hovercraft is running, is going towards them and shooting at them.
Yeah. After they call in to Astrid and say, we found him. I'm like, found who?
There's a point where you're just like, oh, they know him? They know the doctor?
You just accept it.
Like, that's not unheard of, that someone would just be like, oh, it's the doctor.
Right.
Shoot. Now.
I mean, that's what happens in New Who all the time.
But I thought it was funny, when they call her up, I guess, like, she's, I don't know what her position was, I forget. But, like, they call her and tell her, they like, say, we're here. And she's like, hold on a second. And she, like... puts the phone down for a second and goes, presses a button, and this giant map behind her changes to where they are. And I was like, why did you stop the conversation for that? That map doesn't contribute anything to this story.
That is also for the benefit of the audience.
It's just a neat effect.
But yeah, they start shooting at the doctor.
And Victoria and the doctor have a good scene where Victoria's like, have we landed in a world full of madmen? And the doctor goes, oh, you mean humans? You mean human beings, Victoria? Yeah, we have.
Turns out it was man. Jamie punches one of the hovercraft guys.
Right in the face, and it's awesome! It is great!
And then suddenly, there's a helicopter. What is the budget for this episode?
Yeah! There's a helicopter, and not only is there a helicopter, but there's, like, they have aerial shots, and, like, they had a working hovercraft, they have an actual fucking helicopter, they've got these aerial shots that they took! Not that they just, like, took from stock footage.
Because the hovercraft guys are chasing them, and, like, it's Astrid flying the helicopter, and she lands. She's like, get in, you guys are in trouble. And so they're like, okay. But the guy starts shooting at the helicopter. The shot starts on, like, a close-up of him with a gun, and it just pulls back, and keeps pulling back.
As the helicopter goes up.
And it's just like, you can see the beach and the sea. And it's
They're really on the beach for real? They really have a helicopter? I'm really impressed by all of the actual things that are in this episode that they apparently had the money for. It was very exciting.
Inside the helicopter, there's a cute scene where Jamie is confused about what the helicopter is. Jamie and Victoria both, but like the doctor calls it a whirly bird. Jamie thinks it's an actual bird.
And they're like, no, it's just a flying machine. And they're like, all right, which is my favorite thing about Jamie and Victoria.
And then Astrid's like, oh, by the way, it might explode soon. We should probably land. Why was it going to explode?
You'll get shot at. The tank, the engine fuel thing. The engine fuel thing that makes the helicopter go fast.
Thanks for explaining that scientifically.
You're welcome.
I want to point out that this all takes place in 2018. Which means that in less than 2 years, we will have hovercrafts and our own private helicopters.
I can't wait to have my own helicopter.
We're also going to have, like, this evil dictator guy, but helicopters.
That works itself out.
But they also have rockets that you can travel by.
That's my favorite thing. I don't remember where they are and where they have to travel to, but it's, like, continents. And it's like, oh, but that's so far away. And they're like, it's only a couple hours by rocket. I'm like, I can't wait. I can't wait till it's just a couple hours to travel wherever I damn well please. And apparently, I don't have long to wait. 2 years and I'll be able to travel by rockets.
Yeah, that's another thing about this story is the scope of it, like, geographically, is huge, which we never really had in other stories because, for the sake of the story, they need to be close. But they're like, everything's close by rocket. There's a lot of continent jumping.
Also, I guess Australia's gonna get a new name. Like, really soon.
Australasia.
It's the Australasia zone.
Which, and they cast 3 actual Australian people in this serial, which is good.
Yeah,
considering
well.
What happens later. And before.
And after. And during.
I just read that on the Wikipedia that they cast
actual Australians.
Yeah. Sorry, there was cannon fire just happened. I don't know if you guys heard that.
That happens. We live right next to an old Civil War battlefield, and occasionally they shoot off cannons.
The ghosts?
The ghosts. The ghosts just fire the cannons.
No, I mean, they're living human beings who fire the cannons, we think.
No, it's ghosts.
Oh.
No, we saw real people do it once.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
So
if you hear that, that's what it is. It's just cannon fire happening outside of our apartment.
So if you hear anything here, it's because I'm in a public library.
So I lost my place again.
The helicopter lands. Astrid has been shot in the shoulder.
I wanted to talk about the global scale of this story and how it's one of the other things that's, like, totally dead on of how, like, writing about the future and, you know, we're living in it so we can talk about how well they did, of how sort of global we expect our stories to be. And, like, how global our lives are probably compared to the lives of the people who are writing this. Right. I feel like that's like, a totally... It's a good observation and, like, thought about the future. It's like, yeah, travel will be faster. The whole world will just be smaller. It'll just be like, yeah, we'll have part of it take place on this continent, and then we'll jump over here. And I feel like that's a good, accurate idea that person had.
Oh, also, you know what? I just realized this episode, no aliens.
Nope, no aliens.
That makes me happy. We don't have that a whole lot.
Say, just terrible people.
And it's not really historical, either.
No, it's in the future.
Is this the first episode like this?
Like, future episode with no aliens?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had the war machines, but that's still, like...
That had a monster.
Monster. This doesn't really have a monster, it's just people.
As we've thoroughly discussed, I think, our favorite type of stories.
Yeah. I can't think of any other serial like this. I mean, War Machines comes closest, but...
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm totally blanking, so I could be wrong, but...
I know, I'm like, I'd have to look at a list of all the episodes.
I'm willing to just be like, yeah, totally. You're right.
That's totally. It's definitely unique to the Second Doctor, at least. So far, anyway. But yeah, anyway, the helicopter lands. Astrid's been shot in the shoulder. So the doctor doctors Astrid. By the way, I really like Astrid. I love Astrid so much. I was silently hoping that she was going to be a companion.
She is pretty great.
I say it wasn't so silent because you literally told me that.
Oh, well. I was very vocally wanting her to be a companion. Astrid's pretty awesome. I like her a lot.
See, I like her first real scene with the doctor where he's taking care of her and she's like, oh, so you're a doctor of medicine? He's like, no. She goes, philosophy then? She's like, no. And she just keeps guessing. He goes, eventually you're going to run out of kinds of doctors.
Then she like, I don't remember exactly what she says, but she says something to butter him up and then immediately is like, and now can you risk your life for me?
The reaction shot of him like when he's like gets the compliment is like, I know. Thank you for noticing. I am great. And then like the reaction shot when she's like, yeah, so I need you to risk your life is like, what? Why has this always happened to me? Why don't people just tell me I'm great and not expect me to risk my life for them? Okay, fine.
That's when she says, hey, you look an awful lot like this dictator. Of the world.
The whole world.
The whole wide world.
Salamander.
Salamander. He's not dictator of the whole wide world.
He's trying. Yet.
He's the enemy of the world.
He's got big old chunks of it, and he's trying to get more.
His name is Salamander.
That's a great evil dictator name. Salamander.
Then the hovercraft guys get there, and a fight breaks out, and then there's this one guy who has a great mustache.
Who you called? Mustache guy?
Astrid's finding him, and then he winds up getting shot, and I was, like, very confused about whether she shot him or somebody else shot him.
She shot him.
I don't think she did. Did she have a gun?
Yes, and she used it to shoot Mustache Guy.
I don't think she shot Mustache Guy.
I don't know why you're so confused. This serial existed.
I know, but, like, it looked like it came from outside. I think it was somebody else accidentally shot him, thinking it was Astrid or something. I don't think she shot him.
Okay.
I think it was someone else.
I'm not entirely sure how much difference it makes.
True, but I think someone else accidentally shot him.
All right, if you say so.
I could be wrong.
So he's shot.
So he's dead. Definitely 100% shot and dead.
And then they all run away, and the bad guys, or the hovercraft guys, take the helicopter.
At which point, Astrid's like, oh no. Remember when I said 5 seconds ago that it could explode at any moment, and then the helicopter explodes?
Well, so if she's worried about that, why would she care? She just killed Mustache Guy.
It might not have anything to do with Mustache Guy. She just lost her helicopter.
All right,
do you know how expensive it is to buy a brand new helicopter, and she probably doesn't even have helicopter insurance?
Why would you need a helicopter if you had the rockets, though?
Oh, rockets probably are only, like, long distance.
Yeah, like, you can't take those to go to the grocery store.
You take your helicopter to go to the grocery store.
Why not a car?
Because everyone has personal helicopters.
I say there are no cars. There are hovercrafts, helicopters, and rockets. This is the hierarchy of travel.
Well, yeah, there's a fourth method of travel we'll get to in episode 4, which we thought was episode 2.
We will get there. So Astrid is showing the doctor pictures of a salamander, and the doctor's like, yeah, he's pretty good looking, huh? And Jamie kind of does this thing where he's like, oh, you. Oh, you, doctor. You're so silly. But yeah, he is pretty good looking. I agree. That totally happens. That's a scene that I'm not exaggerating in any way.
Yeah, because she takes him to this guy, Kent.
There's just hardcore flirting happening.
Kent's whole thing here is, I'm going to deliver all the exposition to you.
Oh yeah, it's Kent who shows him the pictures. Yeah. You're correct. Which there's like this thing like, I'm going to take you to Kent, but if I take you to Kent, you might die. But like, Kent's all right.
Did you see the serial?
I mean, at this point, he's okay. At this point, he's just like, yeah, you can help us, maybe. He's not like, I guess he does. He does get like, you have to help us.
But he's also
never mind. She was right. She knew what she was talking about.
Salamander's doing stuff that's saving the world, but he's saving the world for his own ends.
According to Kent. He's saving the world so that he can be like, anyway, yeah, I'm pretty great. You love me. Put me in charge of things. And everyone goes, okay, you're the best.
Yeah, everyone really likes him. And everyone else and these other people are like, but is he that great? Yeah, I don't know. He seems kind of off. And the doctor is like, well, he could be really great. Or he could be really terrible. And I don't really know why you're involved in this. You might have some ulterior motives, too. I'm not going to do anything till I get answers.
He's like, I don't even see why I should interfere anyway. I should probably just get back on my ship and go.
That seems like the smart thing to do.
But they're like, no, we want you to impersonate.
But it's Doctor Who, so he doesn't.
We want you to impersonate him and infiltrate his ship. That's what we want you to do. And he's like, I'll have to think about it, maybe.
He's like, I don't even know if I can do the voice, because here's the thing, guys.
Yeah, I suppose we should talk about this.
We should talk about the thing. Salamander is from... Where's he from?
He's from Mexico.
Is he?
Yeah, they said so. I'm pretty sure. He's playing a Mexican.
I thought it was Spain.
He's definitely wearing dark makeup.
I thought it was, like, Spanish or Moroccan or something like that.
That's what I thought, but I can't remember them ever saying it. I mean, I know they do.
He came from Merida in the Yucatan in Mexico.
In Mexico, okay.
I was right. He's Mexican.
I just wanted to make sure we got it right.
So... Patrick Troughton's playing a Mexican with dark makeup and accent, which is...
Definitely happening in the episode.
A bit problematic.
Yeah.
If you put that aside, if you don't think about it, it is interesting to see Patrick Troughton playing a villain. Like, you forget that he's the doctor.
It's the same person. You totally forget.
Which is, this is the second time that has happened with a doctor. Not necessarily this doctor.
Right, because Hartnell was in... What was the...
It was a St. Bartholomew. A Massacre of St. Bartholomew.
Zeus Eve. I think Troughton differentiates his characters a little bit better than Hartnell did.
It's really easy to be like, those are two completely different people. Like you said, you just sort of forget, and you're like, oh yeah, that's the doctor pretending to be him. I forgot. Yeah. And even, like, the doctor pretending to be him is played differently than...
Him just being him.
Him just... Yeah. This episode would be so great if it wasn't so awkward. Like, you literally watch them, like, there's a scene where it's like, he finally does, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but we're talking about this thing, so. Where he's like, okay, I'll agree, I'll do it. And so you, like, watch them, like, put makeup on his face, and you're like, oh boy. We're watching it happen in everything, okay?
The other thing about him is that Salamander wears different clothing than everybody else in the world.
He does!
It's not quite racist, but he definitely differentiates himself. He's got, like, a frilly collar and everything, whereas everyone else is wearing, like, futuristic stuff.
I could see an eccentric billionaire feeling out of place.
Classy villain is what I read it as more than, yeah.
When I was reading about this episode last night, because Doctor Who was, you know, super popular at this time, they had different magazine articles every week for each episode, and one of the articles was all about the fashion of the future, and it, like, looked at all of the, like, the different characters and analyzed their fashion choices for the episode.
There's an awful lot of black.
If you had to imagine, like, future fashion, what is your concept of it?
Just Hawaiian shirts for everybody.
When I think, like, future fashion, I think it'll just be, like an online game. When you have an online game and people can dress up as, like, whatever the fuck they want, and, like, people are elves, and everyone will basically look like their Gaia avatars in the future, I think.
See, I think it'll be a little bit closer to Miitomo, where some people are wearing just, like, t-shirts and shorts, and some people are wearing, like, a container of fries.
Like, that's what I want to see when I see, like, someone, like, walking through, like, a future city. It's just, like, I don't know, some people are in, yeah, flip-flops and a t-shirt. Some people are in, like, Victorian dresses, because there aren't any rules anymore. It's just, like, what do you want to wear? And, like, we can probably manufacture it on the spot, and people will be like, great, I've always wanted to look like an elf. Let's make that happen. That's how I want to see future fashion.
I think it's going to be somewhere between, like, athleisure and what they wore in Xenon. It's like really metallic athleisure.
Everything's shiny.
I like the way everybody looks in, like, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Like, when they do the future stuff, I like all of their costumes. They're very bright colors.
I was going to say, how do they look? You'll have to describe them to me.
They're shiny, bright, and almost plasticky looking. It's like 80s of the future. It's like, that seems to be what it is. Every time you get, like, 60s future fashion, it looks like the 60s heightened.
But so, more, like, intense.
And then Bill and Ted came out in that late 80s, early 90s. So it looks like that time period, super heightened. If we were imagining the future, it'd be this decade, super heightened. So, like,
what does that look like?
Just a full body croc.
There's at least one doctor who would be like, yes, please. Can't wait for the future of crocs. Croc fashion.
But the doctor says, I'll have to think about impersonating him. And they're like, well, you got 2 minutes to perfect your impression. Because
I called him and he's on his way.
Well, it's not him. It's this other guy, Bruce, who for the longest time I did not know his name. So I just called him Grumpy. There's Grumpy Guy and there's another guy later on whose name I called Sleazy.
Oh, that's perfect. I don't know that guy's name. And I just kept looking at him like he's either a worm or somebody's thumb. Like he's something in between.
He's totally a thumb worm. That's such an apt description. He's the worst, you guys.
I don't like
him. He is a sleazy thumb worm.
Bruce comes in and the doctor pops out as Salamander. And he's like, hello, Bruce. And that is the end of episode one. And then we jump to episode four, which starts with Bruce and Salamander. And then it just cuts to back to the doctor, and we're like, oh, I guess they did a giant time jump and didn't do that scene.
But no, we'll just go to episode two. It's okay.
But we're going to actually go to episode two so as to not confuse everyone.
So, like, as evidenced by the fact that we're doing a podcast where we're watching all of Classic Who in order, Joe has kind of a continuity problem. He was trying to watch all of Doctor Who in order before all of Classic Who before he watched New Who. And so, like, the fact that we watched this one serial out of order, I think...
It broke me, you guys. I don't think I can go on.
I think it killed him a little.
It made me so mad.
You're still mad now. I can feel it.
We're gonna fix it by talking about them in order.
In order. So...
Episode 2, It Takes Two, which...
I like it.
There was a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen film called It Takes Two.
We're going to explain them all, too.
Yeah. And also, this is the second Doctor, so It Takes
And it's two. The second episode.
Oh, there's so many twos! Wow!
Yeah. Works on so many levels. Anyway.
And there's two of him.
The Doctor somehow manages to fool Bruce. He just sort of is like, all right, if you say, this doesn't make any sense, but if you say so, I guess.
And he's like, why do you look, like, paler? That didn't happen. But this is a good question. And then, basically, he convinces Bruce to leave. And then everyone starts discussing what their plans are going to be. And the Doctor's still just sort of like, so much. Yeah. His plan, he's like basically like, I will investigate Salamander, but I'm not gonna go out and destroy Salamander yet, because I don't know if he's good or bad, so I'm gonna do my own
research. They
pretty
much straight up say, I think at this point, like, yeah, we want you to assassinate him.
Do they?
Or maybe that happens in the next episode, I don't remember. But they do. They want him to assassinate Salamander, and the Doctor's like, whoa, I'm not cool with that until at least, like, my 9th or 10th incarnation. It could be earlier, I don't know. I'm only on two.
This is 6 episodes, so there's going to be a lot of filler, because that happens in 6 episodes. And also evidenced by the fact that we skipped episode 4 and didn't realize.
Didn't notice. We went on with the story perfectly fine.
Which tells you something.
But then we meet
Sleazy.
Sleazy.
I actually have him down as Skeezy.
Also appropriate.
He's just the worst. Ugh. There's also something about his haircut that I don't like.
It's like his face, too, though. Like, it's both.
It's a combination of his haircut and his face. It's bad now, because that's a real person, you guys.
Well, I mean, he's playing Skeezy.
He's playing a Skeezy part.
I'm sure if you saw him in something else and he was not that type of character, he looks like a fucking evil sorcerer from some, like, fantasy film.
Also, his face is constantly super smug in the way that you just want to punch.
Well, he's that guy, he's 5th in command in your office, and he gets left in charge one day, and suddenly he has too much power all at once.
That is exactly who he is. Like, there's scenes between him and Bruce, where he's just like, hey, can you do this? And he's like, I don't know, can I? And you're like, oh my god, listen, if I have to go the whole day of every time I ask you a question, I get this back. I'm not gonna make it through my day.
By the way, I think Bruce looks like what Colin Baker looks like now.
Yeah, kind of.
My face blindness would have to see 2 pictures side by side, because I can only kind of imagine faces that I've previously seen.
Well, they got, like, similar body types, too. I think this Bruce guy's a bit taller, but they look similar.
What is happening?
He goes and tells Skeezy about what he just happened. And he's like, I want to talk to Salamander about it. But Salamander is in a conference, so he's not allowed to. And this is happens to, like, Bruce a couple of times, where he's like, I want to talk to Salamander. But Skeezy's like, but you can't.
But only I'm important enough to talk to him.
He's in a locked room for Rizzles.
He's the worst.
But in the conference, Salamander is talking to this guy, Dinesh. And says, hey, there's going to be some volcanoes erupting. I'm totally predicting that.
So Dinesh is, like, in charge of some area of the planet. I don't remember where, but he's in charge of it.
I think it's Dennis, by the way. It's spelled D-E-N-E-S.
Where'd the Dinesh? H come from?
Maybe it's Dinesh. Maybe I heard Dinesh. I just added an H on the end of it.
Don't. Because that would make more sense. That's like a real name.
That's why I assumed it was Dinesh, but I guess it's Dinesh.
Because other people pronounce it in the serial as Dennis, like D-E-N-N-I-S. And I think they're just reading it wrong. And like no one has any consistency here.
Nothing drives me more crazy than when no one told the actors, like, this, by the way, this is how you pronounce this name. And everyone pronounces it differently. Because it's like, I'll just use them both. But there's always some asshole who's like, well, actually. And it's like, well, actually, they said it like 8 different ways in the actual canon, so maybe leave me alone.
I think they're just like, we're going to take normal names and make them weird. Because like last serial, we had Clint with an E. But
just add a vowel on the end of there.
Dinesh is like, all right, so there's going to be volcanoes in my area. Let me check on that before I do anything.
Let me consult with my scientists and my specialists.
And, oh, there's also this guy there named Federin, who I've nicknamed Leather Daddy. Well, he's dressed in, like, head-to-toe leather.
Federin sounds like a medicine.
The doctor wants to have a talk with him, but he's going to go do something else. And, like, Federin's like, uh-oh, I'm worried. What's going on?
The doctor wants to have a talk with him?
Not the doctor. Sorry, Salamander. Technically, yes, but, you know.
No, it's Salamander.
It's Salamander. I mean, I know, but I mean, it's the same actor is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I got confused.
The character Salamander, which is an important distinction to make.
Yes. Salamander, the evil dictator, wants to talk to Federin, and Federin is worried about it. Meanwhile, Jamie and Victoria
They're going to infiltrate. They're going to gather as much information as they can on Salamander, and they have the best plan.
This is Astrid's plan.
They talk about it in this park that has a rear projector background. It ripples like on a curtain and you're like, that is not real. There's like a later scene where like Jamie's walking up to them in the background, but like it's like being projected onto like a curtain, just film of him at another location. I don't know why they just didn't film it at that location.
Because they already blew all their money on the helicopter
and the beach
and the hovercraft.
That money is gone. Now all they have is a projector and a bedsheet.
Yeah, they had a 6 episode serial and they spent all of their money in episode 1
right up front there.
And then Astrid's calling in to Kent to let him know that the plan going down all right, and then she proceeds to be like, by the way, Jamie and Victoria are like, and the doctor are all like super weird, and the doctor's like right there.
And he says, so the guy, I'm still here, can totally hear you. She's like, oh, sorry. And the doctor's like, yeah, that's fair.
And then she starts talking about her plan, and in something in her plan is there's a disused jetty, and the doctor's like, disused yeti?
We just did that one. We can't do it again. They do. They're gonna.
It's gonna be the next serial, Tony. Really? Yes. The Yeti come back.
I love when that happens. I love when the doctor has a gas mask and he's like, hey, this is from the one episode. He has a gas mask and he has to go, are you my mommy?
And like, he's the only one who gets that reference.
Right? He's not making that for anyone's benefit but ours.
It's also a very like one joke to mishear things like that and make fun of it. Because he's the Sandman always.
So, back to Leather Daddy. He's talking to this character. Varia?
I thought it was Varia.
Varia? Varia?
I don't remember. Maybe I'm just Varia. Trying to be contrary.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that was... We had, like, the hardest time. Every time they said her name, it was like, was that an F or a V? Every time.
Yeah, they pronounced it so badly. It's Faria, I think. Because at one point they say it, I'm like, wait, is her name Maria?
Like, again, I'd like to reiterate, this was pronounced multiple ways. This is not just us being like, I don't remember.
No, every actor pronounced it completely differently.
So, like, Leather Daddy, I should just call him Federin.
That's his name. name.
Federin is talking to her. I don't know. You think she's like a servant or whatever. And he drinks this drink. She's like, I'm technically supposed to drink that first, but thanks for doing my job for me. And he's like, wait, what? She's like, yeah, I'm a food taster.
Oh, yeah. Also, she's beautiful and I love her.
We met her in episode 4.
And we were very confused by her existence. We were like, oh, okay.
I love her. And then something very unfortunate happens to her in episode four. So it like happened immediately for us. So we actually got to see some more of her before what happened in episode 4.
Yeah, she's great. She's beautiful and wonderful. And she hates her job so much. She's found ways to have fun with that.
Yeah, there's something about her that's just very defiant. And lovely.
Mm-hmm. I loved her when we saw her in episode 4 without any of her setup. I mean, she says, like, in episode 4, she introduces herself to, like, I don't think she's come in contact with, like, Astrid before. So no. She's just like, by the way, this is who I am. And we're like, all right. Like, okay. I love you.
Please stay forever. If we had her and Astrid as, like,
awesome.
A Team TARDIS, that would have been great.
That would have been really good.
We don't. It doesn't happen. What happens instead?
Salamander comes back. Salamander's like telling Federin that he's basically trying to like blackmail.
He's blackmailing. He just hands him a folder and is like, so anyway, here's what you're gonna do for me.
And then like
when I depose this guy.
Dinesh.
When I depose him, you're gonna take over. And he's like, whoa, what? And he's like, yeah, check that folder out. You're gonna do whatever I say. That's totally what goes down.
He starts...
Which they never actually say what's in the folder, I don't think.
They don't, but later the guy's like, but it's all lies. He's like, yeah, but you can't prove that.
He's embezzled money. But, I mean, it was really Salamander, but he's made it look like...
He's framed him for it.
He's framed Federin for it.
Isn't that what he did to Kent?
Yeah, that's his...
He did it again.
He did it again. He's got one shtick, he's gonna stick with it. Well, actually, I don't think he ever really uses it on... Well, maybe he does use it on Federin. But,
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Federin's like, I don't know if I want to do this. And then he's like, shows him how well protected he is and calls a guard out, which Jamie jumps onto this, like, they're on like this, like, I don't know, deck, this like patio.
Jamie like swings onto it action hero style.
And takes out the guard. And then
he starts the serial by punching a dude in the face. Now he's swinging onto decks. And then
he gets to be the doctor a little bit because he's like, when I say duck, instead of when I say run.
Yeah, he's our new action Ian.
And it's delightful.
And he throws this thing, this bomb. There was a bomb there, and saves Salamander. And then he's like, has a conversation with Salamander, like, yeah, I saved your life. I tried to tell the guards that there was this bomb. The guards wouldn't listen, so I just had to come up here and do it myself. By the way, your guards suck. So
you should hire me.
And he gets him a job. Self a job and gets Victoria a job.
What about my girlfriend though? My girlfriend's down there and she needs a job too. So that happened.
They're now both employed by Salamander.
Oh, that's not the thing I was.
Oh, right. That he called her his girlfriend.
Well, I mean, their cover story was that he was on vacation with his girlfriend and they needed a reason to stay.
Right. But like, whose idea do you think that was? That they were girlfriend and boyfriend. Like, Astrid's like, okay, you guys will be brother and sister. And Jamie's like, no. You know it'd be better. We're totally dating.
If there's, like, a chance that we might make out at some point.
But we have to pretend. We're dating. You gotta kiss me.
The first time he's like, he suggested that it be him.
I've read that fan fiction before. You gotta pretend to be dating, and then you're actually dating.
That's the best trope.
That's how it works.
And then there's fake married.
Oh, fake married's good, too.
Then Jamie arrives on a curtain and tells Astrid and Victoria that everything went well. And then Astrid goes and meets Dinesh
under a bridge.
Under the jetty. The disused yeti. He talks about how he wants to help basically take out Salamander.
Basically.
Fills her in on everything that happened in the conference. And then Salamander continues to blackmail Federin and says, hey, by the way, not only are you going to like replace Dinesh, but you also are going to kill him. So you got that job now. And Federin is very not happy about this.
He doesn't want to kill anybody.
And then volcanoes erupt! Dinesh is in trouble now because of the volcanoes erupting.
Yeah, well, the Salamander is like, see, I warned this guy that this was going to happen. He didn't do anything about it. Probably, like, millions of people are dead because of him.
He's a traitor,
and you should arrest him. Because Bruce works for, like, an intergalactic... Like a worldwide thing, right?
Sure.
There are definitely people there, like police there, who have like worldwide authority.
But like, Dinesh is like, you've done this on purpose and you're trying to do bad things.
Trying to take over my place.
Salamander is like, Federin will be the witness to your heinous deeds. And that's the end of episode 2.
That's it. That's the end.
And we are now into episode 3, which has the worst title, Mistaken Identity. But the steak is spelled like the food. Because there's a steak in this episode, you guys.
Wow.
So, episode 3, Mistaken Identity. So, Danessa is arrested. Federin is further blackmailed and given poison to poison Danessa's food while he's being held. I don't know. He's being held at Salamander's little mansion thing there.
Yeah, I guess they're waiting for him to be, like, picked up and transported. And he's just kind of sitting in the hall. There's, like, this bench in a hallway with, like, one guard guarding him, and that's pretty much it.
Well, there was two, and then one of them went to go get him food and water and a book.
Yeah, but he didn't want just any book. He started describing the kind of book he wanted.
Yeah, what was it? What was it he said he wanted?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was exactly he asked for, but it was like, I want a historical novel with really good characterization, atmospheric language, but I want it to be really descriptive with lots of action. Like, he knew what he wanted.
It was, like, ridiculously specific. Not even, like, a specific title. Like, a specific, like, genre.
Did you say specific?
Specific genre.
Yeah, it was like some grade A reader's advisory shit right there. Like, you need a librarian on staff to fulfill that need.
Would you have been able to have located a book for him?
I think so. I mean, like, if I knew what was available in that library, like, if I knew what Salamander had on hand, I could probably do it.
So then we get some backstory on Kent and how he was sort of fucked over by Salamander. And they're, like, in, like, this weird camper. It's the Doctor and Kent. And they're in this, like, they're in a camper. I don't know why they're in a camper.
I don't know. I think part of it has to do is that it's, like, close enough to
Salamander's
facility that they can see it with binoculars.
But Skeezy shows up. And they hide the Doctor inside of a seat. Skeezy's like, even though you're technically legally allowed to do this, you shouldn't be here. And proceeds to, like, trash the entire camper.
He just, like, takes plates out one by one and it's just like, lets it fall to the ground while the whole time looking as smug as a motherfucker can look. Just the worst. Breaks, I mean, like, they spend a lot of time on him just, like, emptying out every single cabinet and smashing every single thing.
And he's like, well, you should leave now because you have no reason to even stay here. Bye! And then he leaves, and then the Doctor comes out of his seat, and Kent's like, so? He's evil, right? And he's like, well, he's a dick, but I don't know if he's evil. I still am unsure, says the Doctor. Like, come on, man. Come on. So Astrid goes into Salamander's thing and says that she has a message for Salamander, and then proceeds to get hit on by the guard.
Yeah, but, like, as far as scenes go with, like, getting a hit on, it was actually pretty cute. Like, she started to walk away, and he's like, hey, wait a second. Do you want to get, like, coffee sometime? And Astrid was like, I'm kind of busy right now.
Delivering a message, like, right this second, so I gotta do that.
Also, you kind of work for some bad guys, but something, I don't remember exactly what happens, but, like, she almost gets caught, but Danessa causes a distraction, and then she bolts. She gets away.
They're starting to question her credentials. Like, she has to actually, like, give the message to them, and they read it, and I don't remember why after that they still doubt her.
They were wanting to read her message, but she didn't actually have
message.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was like, we'll have to talk to, like, so-and-so before you can go through. She just sort of slips out while they stop paying attention to her for a half second.
And then she goes to and finds Jamie and tells him to cause a distraction, a diversion, at, like, 11 o'clock on the dot.
This is where the plan starts to fall apart, by the way, because she's asking for a very specific time, but no one there knows what time it is because no one is wearing a watch. Like, Jamie doesn't wear a watch, Victoria doesn't wear a watch. Like, no one involved actually knows what time it is.
Well, why would they need a watch? They
Time's not real.
Yeah, they time travel, so.
But how else do you know when to go to bed if you're a time traveler and you don't have a watch?
You go to bed when you're tired.
I would never get up.
Then you can't travel in time.
How do you know when you get up if you're a time traveler?
I just kind of assumed that the TARDIS took care of that. Like, the TARDIS is on a 24-hour schedule. Time around everything else does what it wants, but the TARDIS will keep things on. Like, it'll be bright during the day, and it'll be dark at night. Kind of like those places way up north that have 23 hours of light, or 23 hours of darkness. Like, you have to regulate that yourself, and I think the TARDIS does that for them.
Ooh, the TARDIS gets dark at night.
So then Jamie proceeds to sow some seeds in... Oh, that sounds terrible. But he's like talking to the food taster, however you pronounce her name. Basically pushing her to sort of defecting from being the food taster.
I don't know how much pushing he really has to do. She's pretty openly like, let me tell you about how awful this place is and how much I hate it and how much I hate Salamander. And, like, I hope one day he just dies.
But they make some food for Dinesh. And the chef is really hilarious, just putting that out there. I like the chef a lot. He's happy about his terrible life. He's just like, I guess this is my lot in life. Do what you can.
He's just talking about, like, the food, and he's like, don't, it's awful. I know it's awful. What are you gonna do? There's a time where, like, Jamie's sitting in there, and he's like, there's too many people in this room. Jamie's like, oh, I'll leave then, I guess. And he's like, no, I'll go. I'm just the chef or whatever. I don't matter. And just leaves.
Victoria goes to deliver the food, but bumps into Federin, and he's like, looking it over, and he's like, oh, you don't have any salt.
Because he took the salt.
It's the very first doctor, like, we're out of mercury.
And then she goes, she's like, oh shit, I'll go grab some salt. And she leaves. Then leaves the cart there, and he pulls out his little poison vial. Yeah, that Salamander.
Victoria's not great at her job.
And then she brings him his, it's a steak, by the way.
That's very important.
Because so this title is Mistaken Identity.
Oh my god.
And she brings Dinesh his steak. But all he has is, like, I think, like, a fork and a spoon.
Well, he has a knife. It's just that when they bring it out, the guard takes away the knife. Like, no, you can't give him a weapon. He's like, well, what am I supposed to do? All I have is a fork and a spoon. How am I supposed to cut this steak? And Victoria's like, well, maybe you could use the spoon. And he's like, no, okay, no, that's not going to work.
So one of the guards cuts up his steak for him. And this seems to delight him. He's like, it's been a while since I've had someone cut up my food for me. He doesn't seem very worried. He seems kind of tiredly amused by everything that's happening to him.
At the same time as that being funny, you're like, oh shit, no, the steak's been poisoned. I think there's even like a dramatic sting of music.
And like a zoom into the steak.
But then it like immediately cuts to like Federin talking to Salamander and being like, I couldn't do it. I didn't poison it.
Which, like, he's really trusting at this point because he's like, I couldn't do it. And Salamander's like, it's okay. We all have bad days. We all make mistakes. Don't worry about it. Like, he's seen him do much worse, and he's just like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I am okay.
Veteran's kind of stupid.
It's like, there'll be second chances. Meanwhile, he, like, takes the poison from him. Like, that's fine. We'll figure out some other way. Why don't you take this drink? So he's taken the poison from him, has the poison in one hand, like a drink in the other, and hands it to him. Like, you might be able to figure out what happened, but Federin cannot. That's why he's totally dead. Super poisoned.
And he dies. Then, like, a guard comes in, and he's like, oh, yeah, he killed himself because he felt really bad about all this stuff.
He just goes suicide. Sad. And they're like, all right, sure. That's not suspicious.
And that's when I think the Salamander's like, here's all that information about Federin, and that's why he killed himself. Because I found him out or whatever, some shit.
This is just more proof of how terrible Salamander's security system is. Because he comes out and he's like, oh, yeah, that dude killed himself. They're like, okay, you two were alone in a room together, but yeah, he definitely committed suicide. You're totally right.
All right. We believe you. No, we shouldn't have like a trial or an investigation or... Just take your word for it.
And then Jamie causes his distraction, and the chef climbs under the table. Because he just goes out and starts shooting in the hallway.
He's like, there's somebody there! There's somebody there! It's fine, I'll protect you.
During all of this, Astrid tries to help Dinesh escape, but Dinesh gets shot right in the back. And Victoria and Jamie get arrested.
They kind of get found out.
So this whole plan did not go very well. None of us thought this part through. And so things have went badly just all around. And then Bruce finally gets to talk to Salamander. And he starts talking to him about that the last talk they had. And Salamander's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That did not happen. What are you talking about? It ends with him being like, maybe it was somebody that looked like you or something like that. And, like, it's him and Salamander, which is the beginning of the next episode, and is shot very similar to the cliffhanger of episode one. Okay, and so,
this,
like,
this episode is so genuinely shocking, though, episode four.
So, there's something that happens in episode four that we didn't get all of the setup for, but I think it actually works better without all the setup.
It's so shocking, because you're like, what? What's happening? What's going on? What? Oh my gosh!
Because there's a lot of talk about...
I mean, even with the setup, I think it's still really shocking. It's still
pretty shocking. But there's more setup of, like, maybe
he's
Salamander...
He's been around to help, like, for a lot of natural disasters. That's how he's come into a lot of his power. Is there something fishy about that? And everyone's like, no, you can't fake, you know, natural disasters.
But yeah, there's a lot of setup of, like, theories of maybe he's causing these. So it's set up a little more, but like it kind of came out of the blue to us.
I still think it's still pretty out of the blue. Watched it in order the way that it was intended. Well, we can ask Jez, how shocking.
It was still a really good twist.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
To me, I'm just going to say it because like we're talking about it. I think it's weird
we're about
we try
to get
dance
to, right?
around it because like, oh, we're not there yet.
Well, we're almost there.
Well, I'm just going to say it. Salamander goes and he's like, I have to go into, like, my records room. That's the locked door Joe talked about earlier, where it's like, it's when it's locked, no one can go in, no one, it's super locked. And, like I couldn't even talk to him if I wanted to, because he's in his records room. And everyone's like, what's so secretive about the records room? And in the records room, there is this, like, giant elevator that shoots down, which looks really cool, by the way. It's a little... cylinder.
It's like what you imagine Superman would come to Earth in.
And it's scary the way it goes. Like, it goes too fast. It just falls.
It stops very suddenly.
Yeah.
It looks cool, though.
It looks awesome. So he's going down into the ground, and you're like, what the hell? What is in this records room that's so, like, secret, and he has to protect so much that it's, like way far underground? And he goes in, and there's, like, a whole bunch of fucking people! A whole... like, town of people living there, underground. And they're like, oh, he comes back and he's like, I got you guys. I went out into the radiation, war-torn, above ground and brought you guys back food. But it's only a matter of time before, like, this radiation kills me. He has people! He's keeping people! And he has lied to them, and he has told them that the Earth is war-torn and, like, and messed up, and he's just going out, finding whatever rations he can, and bringing them back, and they believe him, and they've lived there, what did they say, 5, 7 years?
5, I think.
5 years they've lived underground, and just believe that the Earth is a wasteland, and that this guy is... Salamander's great because he's the only one who's, like, brave enough and strong enough to bring them back food. He has people underground!
This is the point where he goes from villain to supervillain. He has maybe a dozen people down there, and for the most part, that's all they've known of the world for a long time. They just trust him on everything because they don't know any differently. So they think he's a total hero, that he's sacrificing his life for them, and they're content to just stay down there where it's safe, with the exception of the teenager, Colin, who really wants to go up because he really wants to help. And every time Salamander comes down, he's, like, crossing his fingers, hoping this will be the time he takes me with him. Like, it'll be this time. I just want to really get out of- I need to get out of here.
He just wants to go up. Well, I wish it would be me. Like, look, I'm so stir-crazy.
By the way, this is episode 4, which I'm calling the Salamander Trap, which is a reference to the Parent Trap.
It's so shocking to me. That you're just like, whoa. Like, okay, I thought this guy, like, you know, at this point, the doctor might not be convinced, but I think, you know, the audience kind of is. This is a pretty bad guy. There's a whole nother level of, like, keeping an entire group of people underground. That's a level of bad guy I wasn't prepared for.
But if you look at this episode as an episode two, there's nothing really that, like...
The only thing is, like, we didn't see Jamie and Victoria get captured.
Yeah, that's about it. And there's barely any references to it, so you could easily miss that and just be like... Because I was like, where are they? But they didn't even, like, register that they were gone. I just figured they were out doing something.
Well, they mention it.
Well, the doctor mentions it. Like, he says that he's helping because he needs to go save his friends who have been captured. Like,
interesting choice for a show that shows everything, but okay.
Because everything that sort of happens in those previous two episodes are summed up really quickly. And you just go, oh, okay.
It's not necessarily that it's not important. It's that you can get the recap within one or two sentences.
Which mean we didn't need two episodes. Faria, the food taster. I'm just going to call her the food taster because I don't know how to pronounce her name. The food taster shows up to Astrid and they have a little brief scuffle. But she's like, no, look, I want to help. She has Federn's file, right? She has the file proving that Salamander was behind all of the embezzling.
Oh, I love this scene with two. So she has the file and he's like, let me see it. She goes, no. And he gets these puppy dog eyes. He's like, I'll give it back. And then, like, immediately after, they're talking about why Faria would want to turn on Salamander. And Astrid's like, well, he's blackmailing you, so what does he have on you? What did you do? And the doctor's like, whoa, hey, come on now. She doesn't need to tell us that. We don't need to know.
Which I loved. What a great scene. Just like, hey, maybe that's none of your business. Maybe just take this magic folder with the proof that you want and don't ask questions. And leave this girl alone.
Yeah,
like, stick up for her, doctor. Thanks.
And she basically sums up everything that happened of, like, Federn didn't really kill himself. He was blackmailing him and blah, 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 blah. And that, it was all summed up there. So we didn't even have to see all that. So that, I'm just explaining why we weren't as confused as we probably should have been. So she's going to help him. And she's like, I worked with Salamander. I can help with your impression. And if I'm with you, I'm his food taster. I can help legitimize that you are Salamander. This is where they tell the doctor that they want him to kill Salamander. Because he's like, I'll ruin him if he's bad, but I'm not going to kill him. Which I don't know why. Like, he's killed people before, let's be honest. He, like, flooded an entire damn city. He was going to hit some dude with a rock in episode, like, 3. But meanwhile, Skeezy has had the building surrounded. That was our first introduction to Skeezy for us. But they escape through an air duct. But Astrid stays behind and kicks some ass.
Just crazy taking people out and being awesome. And I love her.
And then something unfortunate happens. Which is,
we lose the food taster.
She gets shot and Skeezy interrogates her, but she's not going to talk. And then she dies.
We loved her.
I really liked her and I'm sad she's gone. But at the same time, I'm glad that she got the death scene that she did. Because it's really good. I love this scene. Yeah, she has a great line. He's about to kill her. And she's like, you're not going to get anything out of me. You can only kill me once.
Yeah, she's, like, been shot, she's dying, and he's got, like, the gun to her head, and he's like, I'm gonna shoot you if you don't tell me, and she's like, psh, I am dying, what are you, you're not gonna get anything from me, and it is pretty cool.
So I will say, out of the 3 people of color we've had recently, she's the least problematic.
She's actively badass, actually, yeah.
It's just unfortunate that she, like, those preceding her dies.
Yeah.
So it's a continuing theme. She was awesome, though. I am with you. Astrid and her as companions would have been awesome. But anyway, Skeezy takes her files and gives them to Salamander. So, boo.
So that was all pretty useless.
At this point, Tony was like, because this was our first introduction to Skeezy, she's like, I get a real Kylo Ren vibe from him.
I stand by that.
And I was like, he's Salamander's Jamie. So there's parallels there. What if they had gotten Jamie to be Skeezy?
Like,
weird.
Like, they were some sort of alternate dark versions of themselves.
We've already had Jamie being evil, though. So, and this is, it's at this point that we get revealed that Salamander is...
gets into the elevator pod and goes underground and everyone loves him and that we...
Again, except for Colin.
Yeah, Colin. Colin is the boy who wants to explore and is like, I just want to go outside. I've lived my whole life underground and it's starting to drive me crazy. I just, like... want to breathe real air, which would probably be me. I'm so antsy. I can't be in the same space for any longer.
It's such a dramatic, just like, whoa, we're in a different story now.
It's just so evil. Like, it's just so mind-blowingly bad that you're just like,
and I think,
dang.
I think to solidify how evil it is, he's like, he tells everybody, like, I got food and stuff, but I need to go rest for a little bit. I'm going to go retire in my office that is entirely covered in Dalek bombs.
And he just smokes a cigar.
Seriously, like, the office is just covered with, like, it looks like the Dalek bombs on the walls.
So, while this is happening, the doctor is getting a makeover.
He's getting brown-faced, basically. And,
also, I think his eyebrows are made a little bit more intense.
Well, yeah, he's got more arch eyebrows.
They're definitely more intense. Like, this is something I noticed while I was watching. Salamander has, like, super intense eyebrows. They come in a little bit farther by his nose. Like, he almost has a unibrow, but not quite. Whereas the doctor has, like, kind of crazy eyebrows, but not that crazy. And then the doctor as Salamander, like, they've definitely made them bigger, a little bit bushier, and a little bit more intense. But it's not quite Salamander levels. And if you watch closely, you can actually tell the difference between the doctor as Salamander, and Salamander, especially in the scene where they're together. Viewers can catch on to that. If you haven't watched this episode already, you can do that. It's a good trick. Jamie and Victoria did not catch on to that, but we did.
The intensity of the eyebrows.
But anyway, some scary boots show up, and that's the end of episode 4. Scary boots.
Scary boots.
Okay, we're now into episode 5. Which is another bad title. I've got it as The Man in the Salamander Mask, which is a reference to The Man in the Iron Mask.
Uh-huh.
It has the whole thing where, like, there's a guy in a prison, he's an iron mask, but he looks like the king guy. It's the whole thing.
Anyway,
it's also The Musketeers.
Episode 5.
Those scary boots are Bruce. My note says, scary boots are grumpy boots. And then they sort of have a chat. Everybody's caught up. And then they find out that the taste tester is dead. Is there like a guard with him or something? Because Astrid takes the gun from the guard.
Yeah. Just like rips it right out of his hands and is like, what are you going to do about it?
Bruce,
I'm amazing and you can't stop me.
Bruce barely reacts, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
He kind of like looks over his glasses. Like,
this is kind of an interesting turn of events. Let's see what you have to say, I guess. Which, like, it's just like two people being too badass to, like.
And then Bruce proceeds to be like, you don't really have a chance here. Like, you know.
You're surrounded by, like, my guards. So you can, like, you can shoot me and I'll be dead and, like, I don't think that's what you want to do, but if you do, you'll pretty much get arrested immediately, so maybe don't do that.
And so the doctor's all like, I don't care for the standoff, and I don't care for violence. Give me that gun. And then he gives the gun to Bruce, and then Bruce says...
Which turns out to be a great move.
Yeah, and Bruce says, you must be a complete fool, or very clever, which is said about the doctor all the time. You're either really smart or really stupid.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He is both simultaneously.
He basically says, I gave you that gun because I think I know what kind of man you are. Like, I trust you. I think you're a good guy. So you won't shoot us. And he's like, am I wrong?
And the doctor's like, I don't know for sure that things are bad. That's what I'm trying to figure out. And like, I feel like you'll want to figure that out too. And you can help me. We'll figure this out together. And you had the credentials to get me in there. And then we can figure out for sure whether or not
Salamander what's going on with this guy.
Evil. And so Bruce is like, all right, I'll go with you, but Astrid and Kent have to stay here in this camper.
Staying surrounded by guards. Which Astrid is kind of like, okay, we'll see how long that lasts.
Meanwhile, in the underground, they're getting the food. There's this guy, Swan, who's sort of like, I feel like he's like second to Salamander.
Yeah, he's in charge when Salamander's gone.
Yeah, and he's moving the boxes, and there's like a newspaper clipping or something sort of stuck to the box. And he's like, what the shit? This has got a date on it?
It's got a date on it. It's recent. It's about like a cruise.
It's a holiday cruise, yeah.
It's like, what kind of war-torn world has holiday cruises?
And Salamander's like, it's a radiated, corrupt society.
It's like, it's full of mutants and they're just trying to get by and they need a holiday. They're terrible all the time.
Because they're terrible mutants who are just gross. And they're just trying to forget about that by getting on a boat, eating lots of food, drinking lots of booze.
Oh, and by the way, have we mentioned that all these people underground are causing the natural disasters?
No, that's why he has them underground. The lie he tells them is kind of like, you know, the war's still going on, and so, like, we're strategically helping, but from the safety of the underground. So they'll be like, listen, this place over here is against freedom. Literally, he says, he has something about, like, we're making strategic...
And I think he might also be, like, saying,
we're fighting,
like,
for freedom down here.
I think he also might be being, like, we're sort of fixing the world at the same time. We're changing things up there so we can go back up there.
But, and so, yeah, they've been causing all these natural disasters.
And Swan's like, we've just been straight up killing people, haven't we?
That I don't understand, because they knew they were causing the disasters for the war. So he knew he was killing people before. But now it's like, oh, but they're not mutant people.
Swan's like, you gotta take me up to the surface.
I have to see for myself, because now I don't believe anything you say.
And so he makes an announcement over the speakers, like, Salamander and I are going to the surface. And Colin's like, the fuck?
Aw, man!
We just had a talk. You said you were going to tell Salamander that I could go? What the hell, man?
Don't ever do anything fun.
Which, this has happened before. There have been, I think, 3 people that have gone to the surface with Salamander, and none of them have returned.
Why would you want to go?
Because you can't stay in the same place for 5 years or you'll lose your mind.
I barely leave this house.
You know, and we've lived here for like 4 years, and I'm like, it might have been time to just move all our shit, because I'm tired of looking at these walls.
So they're gonna go to the surface. Meanwhile, Skeezy is now going to interrogate Jamie and Victoria. And I have to say, Jamie breaks super easily.
Multiple times.
But it's because so cute.
Literally, all he does is pull her hair.
No, like, here's the thing. He's like, you're a spitfire. You've got spirit. You're gonna be hard to break, and it's gonna be fun. Which would be true if he had separated them. And he had just tried to, like, mess with Jamie. That would have been true. That's not how he does. What he does is messes with Victoria, and Jamie's like, okay. I'll tell you. What do you want to know? Just don't touch her.
He doesn't even do anything that bad. He literally just pulls her hair.
He can't have it.
Yeah, he pulls her hair, and it's awkward because you can tell that he's not actually doing very much at all, that she is overacting in this scene multiple times and just like screaming, and he's like, okay, don't touch her. I will tell you anything.
I like it though, but that's because he needs to protect her. He was all gonna fight and stuff until he was like, you're gonna hurt me. Oh, never mind.
I want to mention something interesting about the beginning of this scene, is that you can tell that Fraser Hines is not someone who regularly wears a kilt.
Oh no, why?
He has got some serious man spread. And then you can see him, like, awkwardly drop his hands all of a sudden.
I did not notice that.
Let's rewatch that.
That's funny. Just like, oh gosh.
I noticed it when he sat down, because I regularly wear dresses. And like, no, you can't sit like that. And then he realizes it, like, a half a second later.
I do regularly sit like that in dresses. That's why I don't wear them that often. I will catch myself doing it at work, and then I'll be like, oh, someone like had just walked out of my office, and I, oh man, it's a good thing I have like a really big desk. Just sharing that information with the internet, that's fine.
So this hair pulling is happening, but it is brought to a halt by Salamander entering. Salamander. But it's not, you guys, it's the doctor.
Spoilers.
You can tell because he has medium angry eyebrows.
Yes, but Victoria and Jamie have not caught on to that yet.
Correct.
Not at all. He totally fools them.
Until they get so mad, and like, Victoria's gonna punch him. And the doctor falls out of his chair and is like, Victoria, don't hit me! And even still, they're like, how do we know you're really the doctor? And by the way, Bruce is, like, watching all this. And then
he hasn't stopped it at all.
He pretends to pull out his recorder and mimes playing it.
While whistling.
And then he's like, but you made me leave it in the TARDIS. And, like, Bruce is like, what the fuck is happening?
No, the best part about this is the Doctor pretends to play the recorder, and they don't believe him until he says, but you made me leave it in the TARDIS. So they're just, like, accept that Salamander would have also been playing this.
He could have just said the words TARDIS, but he's like, how can I prove that I'm me? He's like, if I had my recorder, I could have just played that. And then and they'd been like, we know the Doctor plays the recorder. He could have been like, I'm a Time Lord from Gallifrey, and we travel in the TARDIS. And they'd be like, okay.
I don't know if he's telling me he's a Time Lord, though.
Well, no. I don't think the word Time Lord's come up yet.
Or Gallifrey.
I'm just assuming in a world where all of that is consistently true, and he's probably mentioned it, even though it hasn't happened, like, on screen.
And then, of course, Bruce is like, what the hell's a TARDIS? And they're like, it's a thing we travel in.
No, they say it's our house.
I'm pretty sure Jamie or Victoria is like, ah, oh, it's a spaceship! And one of them swishes the other. Like, it's just a house. This is where we live. But I just like the idea that, there was a conversation that before they walk out of the TARDIS, the Doctor had his recorder, and Jamie was like, for the love of God, no. Just this once, leave it here. And I like to imagine that there was a fight that involved him threatening to play bagpipes if he didn't.
Meanwhile, back in the camper, Kent's like, you know what? I should really leave and go to there because, sure, Bruce will see the evidence of Salamander's evilness, but only I can explain it. And Astrid's like, all right, well,
if you want out of here, it's super easy.
Just give me that ketchup bottle. She's going to cause a fatal attack. So then we go back to the caves where Salamander is leading Swan to the surface, which is really just leads him to like a place and smacks him over the head with like a crowbar.
Yeah, he's just leading him farther into the tunnels.
There's a bit where he's like, where does this go? And he's like, oh, that's just where I take naps. I get tired, okay? Which I'm pretty sure is the exit. And he leads him down this other thing and then, like I said, smacks him in the back of the head with a crowbar.
It's like a lead pipe that he had sitting on a ledge specifically for this purpose. Because again, this is the fourth time he's done this.
Oh, and there's a nice cut too. Like when he swings the pipe, it cuts to Astrid smashing a brick or something into the window of the camper. That was a nice little cut. The guard comes in and like Kent's like laying there with
ketchup
on his head. The guard goes to check him out. Astrid bolts, and then he goes after Astrid, and then Kent stands up and licks his wounds, his jelly wounds, and then he leaves. Then Astrid's like hiding in some like bushes and stuff, and then she starts hearing a cry for help. And then she finds this little cave entrance, and she goes in. She finds Swan with his head all busted up.
Well, he's in the grass, too. Yeah, she finds him, and then he, like, leads her to the caves.
But that's the end of episode 5, and we are now into episode 6, the Doppelganger. Like, Doppelganger. The Doppelganger.
You don't have to explain them all. We get them. That's not the problem.
You know, there's 6 episodes of this serial, and there's a whole lot of talk of the Doctor impersonating Salamander, but it really only happens, like, once or twice. I think they could have had so much more fun with it. Just, like, them going in and out of doors. I don't know. Like, some kind of farce.
That'd yes. That'd be cool.
There was supposed to be more split screenshots of the two of them together.
But they blew their entire budget in the first episode.
No, surprisingly, no. What happened was the way they were filming it, something screwed up. So they got the one shot and they're like, well, we can't do it anymore. Like
that one shot.
It's real good.
The way they did it was they filmed it and they put a matte box over one side. Then they filmed it with the same film again and then the opposite. So like the two went together. Then something went wrong with it and they couldn't do it anymore. He was talking to the director of the previous serial like way later about it. He's like, oh man, you can do that later, like in editing. Like, we have the technology for that now. You can just film them and then put them together in post. Did you not know that? And the guy was like, no. I heard about this one way to do it from this other guy, and that's why I did it that way. I was like, that's fantastic.
That's so upsetting.
So anyway, the Doppelganger. So Astrid goes into the cave. Then Skeezy comes back into the interrogation room with the Doctor.
They're, by the way, they're all like talking and celebrating like, how'd you get here? And what's the plan? And like just blatantly talking about not being who he says he is and everything they plan to do.
And then Skeezy's there and they're like, oh shit.
How long has he been there for?
And then Skeezy's like, can you sign these papers, these documents for me? By the way, your records room door is still locked, and it's supposed to be not locked when you leave. Maybe it's jammed. He's like, do you have the key? And the doctor's like, you know what? I think I left it in there. Skeezy's like, well, I'll use the spare key. And he's like, yes, you do that.
I was expecting this scene to go so much worse. Like, yeah, I'll use the emergency key. And the doctor would be like, yeah, great idea. And Brandon would be like, ha, there is no emergency key.
I expected the same thing.
I feel like he was just like, he knew something was up, but he wasn't gonna, he's not about to take anybody out on his own.
I mean, not yet.
Because he's Skeezy.
And also, it might be Salamander, and he's not gonna fuck that up.
I felt like it was like his way to trick to see if it really was Salamander or not, but then he just leaves. He leaves all the papers there with him.
Papers that like clued the doctor into some sketchy shit that Salamander's doing, because he's like, we're getting all this food. There's like, only how many guards are there here? And like Bruce's like, there's 12 guards. And he's like, why are you getting food for like 30? And he's like, I don't know,
we're hungry, we don't know.
So meanwhile, Astrid has gotten water for Swan, and Swan's like, oh shit, I was a prisoner, huh? You should go save everyone else. And then he dies.
Yeah, he makes her promise to save everyone else. There's a very dramatic thing where it zooms in on her face. She goes, I promise.
She's great.
I want her to come back. I know this show came out in 68, but...
but we love her and we want her to come back.
But it's set in 2018. We'll catch up soon.
Ooh. Yeah, just have her be on the show. The doctor basically tells Jamie and Victoria to head on out, and Bruce is like, once you get somewhere, call a number, say the code word, redhead.
And then Jamie's like, is that your wife? And he's like, it's just the code word. And Jamie's like, okay. Not bad.
That was a weird scene.
It was really weird.
So Astrid makes her way to Salamander's Dalek bump office. Everyone is scared of her because they're like, oh shit, she's got, you know,
she's
the plague,
one
or
of
whatever.
The mutants, and she's got radiation poisoning.
And then she comes out and they attack her like mob attacking the monster style.
Luckily, Colin's like, yo, 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 stop.
She needs our help.
And then she's like, Salamander killed Swan, you guys. They're like, how can we trust you? And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, we needed to get rid of the radiation on you. And they put her in the thing that gets rid of the radiation on Salamander. And it, like, says she's got, like, really high radiation. They press some buttons, and then she doesn't. And she's like, are you guys stupid? Look, I'm going to put, like, this whatever.
There's a ruler that was just sitting on the desk, and the meter goes up, and then it goes down. Put anything in there. There's a beam, and if you break the beam, the thing goes up, and then it goes down.
She figured that out so fast.
Also, like, these are fucking scientists who cause natural disasters. And they did not know this? They didn't even think, hey, maybe this is a little sketchy.
No, why would they? They've been there for 5 years. They've been lied to. Why would they even think to question it?
I would, because Salamander's kind of sketchy.
He's not, though. You
like,
have...
Like, how do you not, like, accidentally... Okay, why wouldn't you be like, well, he's gone. He's gone all the time, Salamander is. Wouldn't you just be like... I'm going to try out the radiation thing to see how radiated I am.
His office locks. He's got like a switch on the thing. No one can get into that office. He's secretive as hell.
And like, she couldn't even get out of that door until she hit the right button.
They're scientists, though. I feel like they could have broken in. That's what I would have done.
They wouldn't even think to break in.
Okay, but you say you've been there for 5 years. You get fucking bored. You're going to be like, I'm going to check out this office.
Well, the thing is, I don't feel like they are actually like scientists because Salamander and this other spoiler set up everything down there and just taught these people how to do their basic things over and over. So they know how to use the machines the way they've been taught.
They're test subjects. They're not scientists.
I still think they could have found a way into the office and tested it.
And they trust him. And like, if somebody has a clipboard and a lab coat and they tell you to do something and you're just like, okay, they probably know what they're talking about because they have a clipboard and a lab coat. That's what Salamander has going on.
And the other thing is that there have been 3 people who have questioned him and caught him on different things, different points that he's killed. So other people have caught.
Okay. So then what happens?
Basically, they're like, guys, come look at this. And then the entire research facility crowds into that tiny office and starts looking around.
Astrid says that Colin and Mary, Mary's like Colin's lady friend. She's like, you guys have to confront Salamander. I don't know why she's like specifically that you guys have to do it. Because like, you guys are sort of in control now because Swan's dead.
They're like, yeah, you guys seem to be, you guys seem like you're in charge now. But you're kind of like, do they? Alright.
Meanwhile, Kent has broken into the facility, and then he goes into the records room and bumps into Salamander, and he locks them both into the records room. And Kent is like, I'm gonna kill you. Meanwhile, Bruce and Skeezy are watching this on, like, security cameras, so they're trying to break down the door so they can save Salamander.
It's not Salamander, though.
It's not. It's the Doctor!
Salamander is still wandering.
Also, like, Skeezy's being weird. And, like, I don't remember exactly what he's gonna do, but it's like, he pulls a gun out, and Bruce just, like, takes the gun from him, like, immediately. Because, like, Skeezy's trying to stop him. Do we ever learn Skeezy's realm? It's Bennick.
Bennick is his name.
Like, I kept hearing the word Bennick over and over, but I thought it was someone else. He takes control very quickly, and then everyone else around him, like, just lets him have it, because they're like, it's just so much easier to not deal with him.
No one really wants to talk to Bennick, so we just let him think he's in charge.
And, like, I have a coworker like this, where you pick your battles. They're like, really, they have no power, but we're just gonna let them do these things and check in with them anyway, because it's so much easier.
Those people are the worst. I have no patience or tolerance for them, because I'll fight them. I never learn how to pick my own battles well enough. I do that thing where I just get quiet. Like if somebody tells you, like, to do something and you just sort of look at them and then walk away. And you're like, yeah, sure, in your head you can think that they're going to go do it, right? But you know. Or you just look at somebody and don't even respond. That's what I would do to Bennick.
So then the Doctor reveals that he's the Doctor, and then we find out that Kent and Salamander were actually buddies.
They were the ones who organized getting the people down there in the first place.
Yeah, Kent's the one that actually brought them all down there, and then Salamander showed up as, like, their hero.
They thought Kent was dead.
I mean, Salamander still, like, fucked over Kent, right?
Yes, like, they were in this together, and Salamander was like, you know what would be better? If I had everything.
So that's why Kent's been doing all this, is just so that he can fuck over Salamander,
yes,
in return.
So he, like, can be revenge. In charge. Yeah. He doesn't actually care about, like, freeing people or good things. He wants to have the power Salamander has instead.
He's gonna go down the elevator and gonna blow up the place where all the people are. Then Skeezy grabs the gun back.
He grabs the guard's gun this time, I think.
And then he's immediately caught.
It was pretty pointless.
I love how, like, casually Bruce takes the gun from him the first time. He's like, no, we're not doing this right now.
Nothing rattles him at all.
Like, Bruce is so great, because, like, he starts off, he's basically a bad guy. By the end of it, he's like, he's a lovable guy.
He just wants to know the truth, like everybody else.
When Kent goes down into the underground, Salamander is coming back from, you know, having smacked Swan over the head, and they bump into each other. Salamander gets Kent's gun, and then Salamander shoots Kent twice. But as Kent's dying, he pulls the explodey switch, and then things go explodey.
And it's terrible, because they're all, like, watching this happen on screens, and somebody goes, oh shit!
Astrid's like, Astrid, there's people down there.
I promised I would get them out, and now it's all exploding.
But they're okay, because they go to check the cameras, and it's like, shit's, like, fucked up a little bit, but everyone's okay. So Astrid and Bruce are gonna go get them out. Then something scary happens. We see Salamander wandering towards the TARDIS. Jamie and Victoria are there, because they've gotten out, like, way long ago.
Salamander wanders into the TARDIS, and Jamie and Victoria sort of follow in afterwards, and they're like, ah!
Well, they help him in. They're like, oh, you look hurt.
Let's get you in. And you're like, oh, no. God.
So Jamie's like, all right, get us out of here, Doctor. And Salamander's like, you do it, Jamie.
Yeah, well, he doesn't speak at any point.
Right, because he can't do the voice.
He doesn't know what the Doctor sounds like, I don't think.
No, he knows that there's the Doctor who looks like him, but he has no idea what he sounds like, so he doesn't speak. But Jamie's kind of like, you want us to do it?
Yes, but you never let us touch your toys.
She's like, you always told us never to touch the controls, ever.
Because maybe you guys can fly it better than he can, and he can't have that.
That's the truth.
And then the Doctor shows up, and he's like, because he's not me.
And you're like, whew.
And then they fight. And then there's a really good split screen.
A really good split screen. The Doctor's getting into Salamander's face, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't remember, because it's the same face.
It's Salamander getting in the Doctor's face, I think.
Yeah, because he, like, throws him against the console and is, like, kind of on top of him.
But then, while they're fighting, the Doctor makes the TARDIS go. Everybody's falling around, and, like, the TARDIS is taking off and...
The doors open up and Salamander falls out of the doors into the time vortex.
Just screaming.
And that's how it ends.
That's it. That's the end.
That's how it ends. He's gonna die in the time vortex.
Or get dropped somewhere else.
I don't know. I have no idea how the time vortex works. This is like one of the first times we've truly seen it.
The only other time I've seen this is in New Who, and it was when Jack was outside the TARDIS. But that's like a very special circumstance.
Does it just kill you?
I would assume.
Or like super age you, maybe?
It's terrifying, though. He's just screaming, and then it stops. That's the end of the episode.
Falling through the void, screaming, and then it's over.
There's like stars and shit flying past him.
Which, if anyone deserves it.
But that was it. That was the enemy of the world. It was a kind of an abrupt ending, but a good one.
Ah, this is a good serial.
Final thoughts!
I liked this episode a lot, or the serial. I feel the same way I do about most Classic Who, in that it could have been shorter. We could have taken out at least one episode, if not two.
Two and three is a good...
Like, the story was okay before, like, oh, there's this bad guy, and we think he's up to stuff, and you need to impersonate him. That was an interesting story, but it got so much better when you realized what he was actually doing. There's this whole separate story. So that I really liked. I hated Bennick, and I really liked Faria, and I was disappointed with both of their ends, so...
Yeah, Bennick didn't suffer enough.
Yeah, like, nothing... actually happens.
He's the one who should have fallen.
Yeah, and I like the abrupt ending, but I haven't seen the next serial yet, but I'm pretty sure we just kind of leave it at that. I don't think it gets resolved ever, according to the wiki I was reading.
That'd be a good place to pick something up. It's just like, what happens to somebody?
Well, the wiki references one of the novels for the Seventh Doctor, so I clicked on that, and then I couldn't find any reference in that description. So I don't know if that was a mistake, or they linked to the wrong thing, or if it is in there, but it's just a really small point, I don't know. And so someone who has read the novelizations should tell us what happens. So yes, I enjoyed it. I wish it was shorter so that I could watch it in one sitting, and not over the span of an entire week.
I think we watched it all in one sitting, didn't we?
We did, despite the mix-up. It was kind of easy to just click through them.
It helps that it all exists.
That's why I chose this one.
I like the serial a lot. First of all, it has pretty amazing secondary characters. I love all of them, even the villains that I hate a lot. They're really good at making you hate them. They're really good villains. I really love the twist in it.
Which one?
Right. Well, you know, the one where there are people underground who don't know anything about the world anymore. That to me was, like, so effective. I think it really sold what otherwise could have been kind of an average serial of like, ah, that's the one with the people underground. That's that episode. I know that one. It's got some unfortunate stuff in it, obviously, and I'm looking forward to the day when we don't have to mention that, like, every episode.
This is kind of the season of racism.
Which is a shame because there's so much that I really like about Do. There's so much that I like about his doctor and how sort of goofy and terrifying he is at the same time. And I like, you know, his interactions with Jamie, and I like Jamie's interactions with Victoria, and it's a good team TARDIS. It sucks that it also is very much intertwined with this, like, well, that's just how it was when these were made. People were kind of the worst. What are you gonna do? Yeah, it was great. I'm a pretty big fan overall.
I really enjoyed it too. I hated the way we watched it, and it's gonna bug me for the rest of my life. Yeah, it is too long, but not terribly so.
I'd like to say, though, that I feel like a huge part of the problem when people talk about Classic Who and pacing is because you do try to watch them all at once, and they are designed to be watched over a period of time. They're designed to be watched by, like, oh yeah, what happened? And then they recap it all, and you're like, oh right, that happened.
I mean, that makes sense for, like, the 5 and 6 episode ones, but then we have, like, the chase, which happened over 3 months.
Or the Daleks' master plan.
Something where they're like, oh, shoot, we thought we were going to have more episodes than we have. We'll just make this one longer. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with viewing patterns, like how people watch things now is totally incompatible with how things were written to be watched back then.
Well, yeah, you didn't have the option of binge-watching anything in the 60s.
And we just expect to, like, well, we have to watch this, like, it's one story, so I'm just gonna watch it all at once. Why wouldn't I? I don't think in its day this probably would have been too long. I'm not saying that there aren't Doctor Who episodes that aren't. That are, like, in their day, people are watching it like, is this one still going?
Dalek's Master Plan.
For, I think, this serial, like, judging it then, was, I wouldn't say it was, like, wasn't well written. Now, for how I want to watch it, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I mean, really, for me, the only downsides were Patrick Troughton being Mexican and the unfortunate pattern of killing off your black characters.
The thing that really sucks about it, he does well at playing a villain, and it's very interesting and fun to have him play a different character, but it's so wrapped up in that that you're like, I really liked it, but it's bad.
I mean, putting aside the fact that it's a white guy playing a Mexican, I do think he did a really good job of being another character, and you forget that he's also the Doctor. He separated himself from the Doctor really well. His acting was still really good, despite the unfortunate aspects of it. The acting overall was really good. I enjoyed everybody. I like that, like, you have Bruce, who has an arc. He actually has an arc.
All the secondary characters are very developed, instead of just like, this is the one that doesn't like the Doctor, this is the one that does like the Doctor, they're fighting.
Binnick is probably the one with, like, the least amount of anything. But, like, you've got Bruce, who starts off a bad guy and becomes a good guy. You have the food taster, who kind of is on the side of the bad guys, but just because she's forced to be.
You have Salamander, who even it takes a while to be like, is he bad? Oh, no, okay, he's bad.
Yeah.
He's really
and
bad.
Then, I mean, then you have Kent, too, who you think is a good guy until the last episode, when it's revealed, no, he's been helping Salamander. He did all this terrible shit.
Yeah.
He's kind of the worst. Like, the character stuff was really on point this serial. And I'm also just a fan of the fact that the serial has no aliens, no monsters. It's just a good story. And I feel like Doctor Who occasionally gets too wrapped up in being like, all right, but how do we make it?
How do we make it have aliens?
Monsters and aliens? Like, you don't always have to do that. This is proof of that. This is a really good serial that doesn't have any of that, but it's still Doctor Who. It's still really good, despite not having any of that.
I wish New Who would do that more.
Yes.
Same.
Just focus on telling good stories, and then if you want to sprinkle some aliens and some future shit in there, like, cool. Not that there aren't good stories in New Who. I don't want to make it sound like that.
I kind of prefer when they do something a little smaller and personal, like, where it's not, like, big stuff. Like, I liked Midnight.
For me, I feel like that's where the show gets really good.
What was that episode of 12 where, like, it's like, you're never really alone? That one.
He's just scared of the dark.
That episode was fantastic, and there's nothing really, there's no real big monster or alien thing. I mean, there's hints at it here and there, and it may not even be a real monster or anything. The show needs to do that stuff.
Yeah, it's just kind of spooky without being scary.
One, it kind of talks about, like, a very real fear that the Doctor has and that people have, and it's very, like, personal, and it's good.
So, yeah, I really like the idea of this serial. I'm glad it all exists.
That's the episode.
Oh, wait, yeah, Jez, do you have anything you want to plug or anything?
I have two things that I want to promote. The first one is another podcast. It's called Librarians Assemble, and it's all about comics. Largely about comics in relation to libraries, but for the most part, it's just comics in general. I haven't done it yet as time I'm recording this, but by the time this episode goes up, I will have been on a recent episode of Librarians Assemble. I'm going to be talking about a recent book challenge that I had to deal with at work. Most listeners know this, but I'm a librarian. I recently had a patron come in and tell us that one of our graphic novels was satanic and should be pulled off the shelves, and that started a really long process of me dealing with that. And Banned Book Week is coming up, so I will be talking about that on Librarians Assemble. You should definitely check that out, especially if you like comics. The other thing is my website, howtogrowthefuckup.com. If you're a fan of that already, you know it's been really quiet lately. I haven't gotten much done, but I'm trying to get back into things and trying to put up some posts. And I did put up a new guide, which is 44 things you probably didn't know about therapy. So if you are someone that is trying to grow up, or you're someone that's thinking about therapy, or you just don't really understand that yet, you can go check out my website, howtogrowthefuckup.com.
If you guys like the episode, check out more on watchyourassalon.com, and be sure to rate and comment and whatever you do on iTunes.
You rate and you comment.
Do that then.
Yeah, you rate and review, and it will boost their position in the iTunes store and help others find it.
Yes, that thing. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/watchathon, where you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like videos of us watching the episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, and day early episodes. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page, and we'll mention you on the podcast like we're about to do right now for Matt Golden. Thank you, Matt Golden, for sponsoring this episode. Thanks, Matt Golden. You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. There's no E in that tumbles because it's Tumblr. Tune in next time when we talk about the Web of Fear. I put Web of Feet.
Web of Feet.
The Web of Fear with special guests Christopher Cherry.
Christopher LeBron Cherry. That is not his name. That's another episode. Thanks, guys. Woo. Thanks for listening.
And
I love you.
Keep calm and wrestle on. Bye.
Bye.
Disuse Yeti? No, 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 no. Jetty.